The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that 8 out of every 10 deaths due to COVID-19 are people who are 65 or older. Other people most vulnerable to severe symptoms from the new coronavirus, people with existing health conditions, compromised immune systems, or lung issues. We're talking about how organizations that care for aging people and people with disabilities are managing their residents and their staff as this virus spreads. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. And here on the Ideas Network, we want to hear from you. Do you rely on social services to get the care that you need? How has COVID-19 affected that? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Think about stay-at-home orders and whether you need food delivered or you have a home health aide. Perhaps it's about physical therapy. How has this affected your world? Go ahead and call 800-642-1234. Maria Ledger is Chief Executive Officer of My Choice Family Care, Care Wisconsin. It's one of 4 managed care organizations in Wisconsin, and it helps senior citizens and adults with disabilities manage their home and community-based long-term needs. Maria, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me on.
With the current stay-at-home order in place by Governor Tony Evers, how has that affected the services that you're providing across the state?
It's meant that we have to do things differently. We had to shift fairly quickly. As a managed care organization, we serve about 16,000 members throughout Wisconsin, providing the family care benefit in 39 counties, and we have about 2,000 members for whom we provide something called partnership, which is long-term care, which is family care and acute and primary care in 8 counties. And we had been preparing as we knew that COVID-19 was becoming an increasing threat, but I don't think any of us in Health and Human Services were prepared for quite how quickly it escalated. But we had been putting together our own incident management task force, so we were able to have a lot of our care management and nursing staff deployed and working from home to make sure that we were still able to support the people that rely on us to coordinate their services and be able to manage as the stay-at-home order became effective.
Yeah, and I could see, though, that working remotely would have major challenges, and there are some things you simply can't do to care for people when, you know, you're on the other side of a computer or a phone line.
It is a challenge. I think it was less of a challenge for our care management teams because our expectation has always been that they don't work in our offices as much as they work in the community. We want them to be accessible to our members, but that means that they see our members quite a bit, and so now they can't. For the people that they work with who are living in facilities, they're not able to see them. Unless it's a critical need. So we're trying to respect those guidelines that say they don't want visitors, they don't want people bringing in a potential exposure. So we're relying on Skype visits and phone calls, and we're checking in very frequently. But if you talk to our care managers and nurses, they're doing that, and they're being able to ensure that people are safe and well. But it's hard because you miss a lot of those nonverbal cues, and it's hard to get as much of a connection as they had. But it's the place that we find ourselves in. I did talk to one of our care managers who works with a population that's deaf and hard of hearing. So what she's had to do is go to her member's house and stand a distance outside and sign to her members through a plate glass door, so that she could still have a level of communication with them and still be a safe distance away. So they're becoming resourceful, more resourceful than they had been.
Yeah. Well, and I understand, you know, you assist with providing long-term care for people with physical and intellectual disabilities in addition to senior citizens. What are the things that your workers do? Help us get a good picture of that.
So what the care teams in all of the managed care organizations do, and as you had said, there are 4 throughout the state of Wisconsin, and when people come into those programs, they enroll in them through the what's called a resource center, and those are found in every county. And what happens then is a care team will come and meet with a person and talk with them and design a care plan and find out what it is that that individual needs to meet their outcomes, to be as independent in the community as they can be. And then through the provider networks that we establish, the team will arrange for the things that you need: transportation, durable medical equipment, residential services, supported employment services. They'll put together all of those things, and it's, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all. Every plan is very individualized to the person, and then the managed care organization, through a contract with the Department of Health Services, reimburses those providers for the care that they give to the members. So now, obviously, there are some things that our enrolled members aren't receiving. They can't go to those larger congregate settings because of the safe-at-home order. So congregate meal settings, larger recreational opportunities, working in the community for individuals who had supported employment, those are things that aren't available to them right now. So it's a very different way of people interacting and the way that we're being able to provide services. And it's a very different landscape for our network of providers as well.
Yeah, and certainly if you can't do something and it is an emergency or imperative that your staff members are still connecting with clients in person, are you providing them with any additional pay or support during this time? Because it is a little bit intimidating, I think, to be in the category of essential employees when the mandate for everyone else is stay home and don't be around other people.
Right. So for our staff, what we're they are for the very most part, the folks that work for My Choice Family Care, Care Wisconsin, have not been taking any risks in terms of seeing individuals. We would love to have been able to provide them with all of the personal protective equipment that we could. But we're in the same position that most people are in terms of not being able to have as much as we want. I know there are some supplies that have just been made available through the state. We had tried to order some very early on, actually in February when we first became aware of the impending health crisis, and our order was lost in transit. So, again, we're trying to make sure that we minimize the risk on our staff.
Your order was lost in transit?
Yeah, I'm using lost as a euphemism, but that's what it was called. It was lost in transit, and it never quite got here to our office. So that was what happened to ours. But again, when we ordered it, we assumed that we'd be going out more into the community to see members, not realizing, you know, what was going to happen in the space of 4 weeks. Yeah. But it is a challenge for those providers with whom we contract, who are having daily contact with individuals because they are providing services to where people live. So it's something that we're trying to work through right now. And I know the state of Wisconsin is having conversations with the legislature and with the Federal Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services. And really, everyone's trying to navigate this for the first time ever. This is just a completely unprecedented event, and I think everyone is really trying to do the best that they can as quickly as they can. It's completely, to say it's uncharted territory is just a wild understatement.
Maria Ledger is Chief Executive Officer of My Choice Family Care, Care Wisconsin, helping seniors and adults with disabilities manage their home and community-based long-term needs. And there's a line for you at 800-642-1234. What is the most crucial piece of care that you receive that you've had to go without right now? How are you filling the gaps? Share your story with us. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Maybe you're a family member of someone whose care has been affected by this stay-at-home order. How are you trying to help them? Help us understand how you're managing. You can email us, too, at ideas@wpr.org. And Maria, for you work with not only family members, but also healthcare providers. And I wonder what you're hearing from agencies about the concerns right now.
What we're hearing from our provider network is staffing concerns. Mm-hmm. And again, this is something that we were anticipating as soon as schools closed, because it was when it became an issue for our staff. Obviously, we knew it was going to be an issue for everyone's staff, that with school children at home, families were going to be impacted, and so there were going to be staffing issues. There's staffing issues as individuals become at risk for exposure or potential exposure. So we have some of our provider agencies are short-staffed. If you have a residential facility where the people that live there had typically gone out and done other activities at other placements during the day, and those opportunities aren't open to them any longer because those were larger congregate settings, and the residential facility hadn't traditionally had first shift staff, and now they have to, that's a pressure on them. And then we have to think about what is going on with that day program. If no one's attending there, we still want to make sure that that program is going to be open and viable when this health crisis passes, whenever it does. So there's all kinds of very critical financial questions that, again, have to be answered, and we understand fully that they have to be answered really quickly. And we have as many questions as our provider network does as well.
Maria Ledger stays with us. Yeah, she oversees one of the largest family care organizations in Wisconsin. And we're taking your calls to 800-642-1234. Are you providing services right now? How are you staying safe? Maybe you have scaled back a bit. Help us understand what it looks like for you. The conversation continues here on The Morning Show. Caregivers play a vital role in supporting people who are aging and people with disabilities. They are the definition of essential employees under this stay-at-home order in Wisconsin. We're talking about how organizations are handling supporting clients and for the people who work with them. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Still time for you to join this conversation. Call now at 800-642-1234. Tell us how this stay-at-home order has affected you. Has it changed what you can access physically? Maybe it has had an impact on your mental health. How are you still able to get the counseling that you need? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. And John from La Crosse wants to join the conversation. Hi, John.
Hi. I've been listening to this interview. I'm a immunocompromised person, and I deal heavily with an organization in Wisconsin, Inclusa. I've just been a little concerned hearing this interview as a on top of it client who goes out of his way to do well. I have not even received a single call from my caseworkers, my nurse, social worker, and anything in concerns to the COVID-19 situation. And as I said, I'm immunocompromised, I'm not even getting calls. Although I do want to state I appreciate the severity of the situation, and I do understand. I just also want people to know that they need to check on their loved ones in these situations and not rely on just the social work team. But I do want to repeat, I have not even received a call from my organization. I had to call them and inquire about sanitizer or what to do, and there was no readiness plan, and that was last week. I just got, we're looking into it, that's concerning. So I appreciate what you guys are doing for the people that you can help. But things are hard out there, and I would encourage family members to do all they can to help their people that are in and friends in these situations right now.
John, thank you so much for being willing to share your story with us, because it is John's experience. John is saying it's great that you're trying to reach everybody, but I've fallen through the cracks here.
Oh, sure. And I was going to mention, it's, you know, there are very different experiences, and I'm sorry that, you know, that has been his experience. There are, as I mentioned, four organizations like mine throughout Wisconsin, and it's often a very different experience. Not talking about whether his contact with his care manager, but just the experience of how services are provided from a rural area to a more urban area. I know when I spoke to actually one of our care teams in the La Crosse area, it's because individuals may be so spread out. That's where technology has really become a challenge. There are some areas they were sharing with me where there isn't really much of cell service at all. So it becomes where when home visits aren't possible and you have to rely on technology, that's where, you know, this particular situation has become even more difficult. And they did say that Spectrum has really stepped up and in that respect and made it more possible for case managers to touch, reach out and touch their members. But to John's experience, I'm glad he has been able to get out and contact his care manager. And I guess I would say to anybody who hasn't heard from their care manager, from their nurse, from their care team, if they are enrolled in a long-term care program, to absolutely reach out to them. If they can't reach them, if you're enrolled in a program, there's ombudsmen who are able to help you make those connections. All of that information is online. And again, there's for people who aren't necessarily currently enrolled in a program, if you look, every county has an Aging and Disability Resource Center, and all of that information is readily accessible online. So that's your Aging and Disability Resource Center is really everybody's one-stop shop for all of the things that anybody is eligible for, whether it's family care or partnership, or the state has a self-directed supports waiver called IRIS. All of those things your counties can explain to you. So, and even though everybody's working remotely, everybody still has access to all of that information, and so people are still taking calls and can still provide individuals with that kind of guidance.
That's Maria Ledger, CEO of My Choice Family Care, Care Wisconsin, serving people across the state, 39 members in 39 counties, almost 2,000 members in partnership in 8 counties. And so, Maria, what are the questions, though, that we should ask if we're advocating for a family member, or if, you know, we're in our caller's position where we can advocate for ourselves? You know, what are the questions we should be asking, and what expectations should we be setting given the circumstances?
I think we want to ask people, you know, make sure that they have connections. What we've established a protocol for our care teams, questions they should ask when they're contacting their members about whether they have enough resources that currently available, you know, whether they've got food in the home, whether they've got people that they can contact. And again, sometimes people are expressing needs, and clearly we've seen people who don't have long-term care needs, people who are, you know, perfectly functional and healthy in the community, who have reacted in a way and gone out and completely overshopped at Costco, who don't have a real realistic appreciation for, let's just say, how much toilet paper they need right now. So what you want to find out is, you know, if you're concerned about somebody, you know, do they have what they need? Do they have enough food in the home? Do they have a way to access their medications? Do they know who they should call if there's if they have an emergency? You know, do they have a way to reach you? We try to make sure that even if we're calling someone in a facility, if the facility isn't able to get back to us right away, do we have a secondary contact? But to John's point, people should really be checking in on our friends and neighbors, making sure they're all right, that if there's anything that someone can do for someone, even if you're just someone that can shop for someone and leave groceries or needed supplies on somebody's front step so you don't have to go in. There's a lot of ways I think that we can be resourceful and helpful to one another, but we can also help people make those connections and find the services that they need. And I'll say this, there's a lot of people across the state who have stepped up at an unbelievable level. There's two sort of volunteer groups that are sort of separated geographically that are they're a wide network of primarily women who are sewing fabric face masks and are just turning out hundreds and hundreds of them for first responders and hospitals, and we've connected a lot of our providers with them simply because personal protective equipment is so hard to find. So, you know, shout out to the masked sewists and the face mask warriors because they are working overtime and turning out these masks that are so critical to everybody.
Right, because they're not medical grade, but the theory is it's better than nothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then, just as we wrap up, for people who rely on social services here in Wisconsin, what should we take away from this in this moment?
I think that for people who rely on those services, the services are there. We're trying right now to provide them in a different way. Schedules may be different, and the way that you receive services may be different, but people's care managers and nurses are there and available. By all means, reach out to them. If you're not getting the kind of response that you want, there's, you know, everybody who has services has a handbook. They know how to call and express concerns if they're not getting what they feel that they need at this very moment. And if you feel like you do need services and you haven't accessed them up to this point, contact your local Aging and Disability Resource Center because that's where you're going to find all of the options.
Thank you so much,
right,
Maria. I'm sorry we have to wrap up. Maria Ledger is Chief Executive Officer of My Choice Family Care, Care Wisconsin, talking about long-term care and health care needs right now. Thank you so much, Maria. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.